He steps to the mic with a boom, ping, ping. Wisdom sharper than a bee's fierce sting. Words like fireflies that light the night. He turns the dark into blazing bright. Boom, ping, ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom, ping, ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king, oh, the airwaves king. The ground unveils the truth where lies abound. Politics, justice, social streams. He molds the chaos into dreams. No silence here, just the sound of change. Boom, ping, ping, rearrange ya. Boom, ping, ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom, ping, ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king or the airwaves king. Through the static, through the noise, he amplifies the people's voice. Boom, ping, ping, like a heartbeat's call. He's got the wisdom to break down walls. Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. Tuesday or Wednesday? Tuesday. May 12th, 2026. I don't know. These days are all starting to run together. My routine's a bit all screwed up. You know, it's a lot going on, ladies and gentlemen. Since we found out that 1017 The Truth had been sold, there's a lot of questions that we all have, that you all have, and I have been seeking answers, as have the rest of our colleagues and co-workers here. And I'll tell you, so from when I leave here at noon, well, yesterday I was here till almost 3 o'clock, which is very unusual for me. That was damn near an 8-hour day, which is odd for me. I am on the phone with, or in a meeting with, or a Zoom call with, or like three different text message chains with a dozen or more people trying to figure out how we can maintain what we do at the level in which we do it. And just a little side note on 1017 The Truth, to start a radio station in the middle of a pandemic out of thin air and a radio station that catered to the African-American community was no small feat, and for it to climb to the levels of success that it has in a very, very short period of time. You know, some of these media companies, ladies and gentlemen, are 100 years old. TMJ, which stands for The Milwaukee Journal. They are also our colleagues right across the hall at 620 a.m. They have a whole newspaper and a television station associated with that brand. That brand goes back prior to World War II. We here are very new. And so for us to have reached the people that we have reached and to have made the difference that we have made in such a short period of time, quite honestly, is remarkable. I have worked for other established and non-established media companies that have not seen anything even remotely close to the growth. And some of the growth was because it was new. And because the time in which this endeavor was initiated, we were really glued to our devices and our screens and trying to find out all the information that we could. Remember, we had a whole series of pandemic elections where you got your information essentially from what you viewed on your screens. There was no campaign rallies and going out to campaign offices and going and picking up yard signs. Everybody was quarantined. And so maybe that played some small role in the attention and the eyeballs that we got here on 101.7 The Truth. But, you know, in these last few days, really the last week or so, just reflecting back and looking at all that has been accomplished, the incredible conversations that we have had, even the ones that we disagreed with, that also take place on these airwaves. And I know some people took a lot of those conversations very personal. I might be one of them, but that's the point. Internalize this stuff. Get angry about it. Fundamentally disagree with somebody. Disagree with them a lot. Disagree with them real hard. But then figure out how you can continue to work and coexist with the person that you disagree with. Thank you for all the comments of support that not just I have received, but my colleagues as well. We really appreciate that. I am reasonably comfortable. And I'm never comfortable, but I'm reasonably comfortable. I'm cautiously optimistic, heavy on the caution, that we will, at least in the short term, be able to continue doing what we do best here, and that is provide information and a place, a platform for you to voice your opinions, for you to ask questions, and for you to hopefully get information that helps us better figure out our world. And it is a very complicated world that we live in. I probably go through 2 full cell phone batteries a day. You know, you ever be on your phone so long, your phone gets hot? I know you iPhone users deal with that because your phones suck. But in the conversations that we have had, I think a lot more clarity has been revealed. And I will make sure to keep you all informed, because as we are going through this transition, the most important part of this are the people that choose to spend their time listening to us. Some days, I don't know why you do. I just have to step back. I put on a bonnet during hour 3, and people, you know what? The bonnet does give me superpowers. I think I need to call it the Bonnet Chronicles, because I feel the weight and the gravity of the ancestors being channeled through my bonnet. And here's something else that you all don't know about bonnets. Well, some of you know a lot about them because it's your preferred headwear. They're so comfortable. It is the most comfortable thing. Like, I wear hats because I'm bald. I ain't got no hair on my head. And, you know, it's a lot of lights in the studio here, and I don't need my head shining and blinding everybody, so I'll wear a hat. That bonnet is just so comfortable. It's like a warm hug on top of your head. I actually do have real things to talk about today. I want to tell you about something that I noticed. Maybe you notice the same thing. It's also very easy to be distracted and not pay attention to stuff that we probably should have our focus on. You have this race for governor, which we're not even discussing. Typically, especially in, I can't even say typically, because these times that we are living in right now are not typical at all. But when you have this many Democrats running and you have a year in which the Democrats can almost do no wrong, trust me when I tell you they will do some wrong, but they so have the wind at their back. And I say that because Trump, the Trump thing is starting to get tired. I think most of us have resigned to the fact that we don't know what Trump is going to do. And if you don't know what he's going to do, then you don't know how to prepare for it. And even if you prepare for it, you prepare for this thing that he's doing. Maybe he starts another damn war. We don't have anything to counter it. So we're just going to have to let dude just Trump himself out, because we can't keep fighting battles not knowing when the next one is coming. And he still, until further notice, has support for some of his worst impulses. I say that the Democrats have the wind at their back purely on a policy basis, because the things that they were, other than the obvious race and cultural issues with the previous Democratic nominee, who was the vice president of the United States, who was the heir apparent. She was selected to be the vice president because she was supposed to be the next president of the United States. But for some reason, a bunch of Democrats thought it would be a good idea to have a primary with 100 days left. First of all, that's not respecting the progress or the process, rather. And Democrats need to be institutionalists more than the Republicans are, because Donald Trump has destroyed every institution. At least the Democrats are proceeding with some kind of order. They'll introduce a bill. They'll have a discussion. The bill will come to the floor. There'll be a committee meeting. They're not doing any of that with the Trump administration. And so for Democrats to think that they can abandon order now or even then is problematic. And it's a slow and insidious way in which Trumpism is going to be the haunter virus that is going to infect Democratic politics. And I got my eyeball on that. Some Democrats are actually looking at how Trump was able to do things and get away with it and think that they got to put that in their playbook. I'm not really too cool with that. I'm not really too cool with it. But here's why I think the Democrats have the wind at their back. Now, remember, the wind can always change direction. And I want to bring this back to the lackluster, boring, milquetoast, lukewarm Democratic primary for governor in Wisconsin, because I don't even know what they're doing. It's a saying that my football coach used to say. It's got a little profanity in it, and I don't know if I can say it on the radio. My phone is unplugged. I'm also stalling because I don't know if I can say that term on the radio. Because if you think about it, X, who could fire us right now? Because we're kind of in this weird limbo where, like, we're kind of working for two different places. So, like, can one place fire me and then the other place rehire me? Do I get fired by both? Do you fire me? Like, how does this work?
Well, if you're asking me that question, you know, I always say, go with the controversial take.
The Democrats are playing grab ass.
You were worried about saying that?
Yeah, I was worried about saying grab ass. I think I work for a new company. Well, not yet. Soon, I think I work for a new company, and I don't know if the new company allows me to say grab ass.
Grab ass is really, you know.
Now you saying grab ass.
Well, that's,
don't grab my ass.
I mean, you say, literally, you were saying the N-word with ER at the end of it the other week. If you can't say ASS.
Wait, I was saying what word the other day with the ER in it? What word?
Oh, nigger. We can say that on there.
That was rude. I didn't expect you to say it.
What? I'm black.
We had a white guy say it, too.
Where?
Oh, he called one day. Oh. I dared him to say it. And then as I was daring him to say it, because I felt him like revving up, I was like, say it. I was like, you know you want to say it. And I felt he was just like, ooh. And when I heard him like revving, because, you know, white folks, they need to rev. And sometimes they rev when we make them very angry. They're always like on the cusp of saying it. But I was revving up. I was like, yeah, say it. Come on, say it. And I heard him revving. And then right when he was reaching the peak of his revving, he's about to hit red line. I was like, wait, no, don't say it. And then, nigger, he just, boom, he just hit me with it. And then I think he said it again, because once he let it out, it felt good to
yeah,
him.
Yeah, it's kind of like, that's like their favorite word, honestly.
The Democrats are playing grab ass, and they are, this is what I'm noticing. And I got some comments from Joel Brennan. You know, Joel Brennan, who is the moderate, middle-of-the-road white guy that entered the race to be the moderate, middle-of-the-road white guy, which I totally understand. Because if you got six people at the time, maybe five people were running, he's probably thinking like, oh, we need a moderate, middle-of-the-road white guy because, you know, what's life without a moderate, middle-of-the-road white guy? And then he said in an interview in kind of like coded language that he doesn't think that Wisconsin is ready for a governor that's not a white man. Okay, so put that in your pocket. We're going to come back to that because I have the article where it goes into a little bit more detail of that. But also, I'm feeling like the African-American community is being totally ignored. I want to do some juxtaposition here, right? So put that in your pocket as well. Why I think the Democrats have the wind at their back and these crop of Democrats. So of the seven candidates that are in, three are just inept. They just can't. It's not for them. You know what I mean? It's not. It ain't their bag to be running for governor. The Democrats have the wind at their back because the things they held against Kamala Harris, other than her gender and her race, economic issues and inflation and forever wars, that worked against her. Now, other things worked against her as well. But those policy issues, those bread and butter issues, those kitchen table issues, they use that against her because, oh, no, Kamala, if you get elected, the inflation is going to go up. Inflation right now is at 4%. It's at a level where it threatened and ended Kamala Harris's campaign. Remember back when everybody was talking about the price of eggs? Oh, eggs are going to go up. I didn't even know that people ate that many eggs. And so the issues that hurt Kamala Harris's campaign, those economic issues, have been exacerbated during the Trump administration. So that's what the Democrats have. I think they lose or they underperform if they just fashion their campaign around, oh, my God, Trump is so bad. Oh, and Trump, I hate it. Saying that Trump is bad doesn't make gas cheaper. Saying that Trump is bad does not improve quality of life issues. So that's why the Democrats have the wind at their back. But I still have a feeling they're going to screw that up some kind of way. But I'm noticing this. They're ignoring the black community, but I gotta disclose something. I know, X, you're probably going to get all excited when I tell you this. That's why I don't want to say it, because you're going to get overly excited, and I think you're going to look into it in a way that might be a little premature. I'm stalling today by wanting to plug in my phone, because you see how my phone is unplugged? It means I can't answer the phone when Bob calls. I got a text from Francesca Hong on yesterday, and she said that she was going to be in the African-American community knocking on doors, the black community in Milwaukee. There are black candidates from Milwaukee that aren't knocking on doors and engaging African-American voters in Milwaukee. I've long said she is embarrassing these other candidates, her policies notwithstanding. That's a whole nother conversation. But on style points, it's not even remotely close, because I was skeptical on the small Asian lady, single mother, restaurant worker, works in the state capitol and also works in a restaurant, has a single baby, single mother, no daddy, right? I was like, she's a gimmick.
She's the real deal. That's why she's the only one that you've interviewed.
No, she ain't. She ain't the real deal. She ain't the real deal until I know what her policies are. She's not the real deal until there's measurable improvement in her district, in the state, in the nation, by something that she didn't. She ain't the real deal yet. She's winning on style points. But I will say this, on style points, she won me over. So when you watch a debate, because debates suck, they're boring. I went to the first, they had all seven candidates on stage. You know what they did? They're like, oh, my God, I agree with you. Well, I agree with you, too. Oh, you took the words right out of my mouth. The only thing that they didn't have in common were their names. Even when she was on the stage, she was being overly diplomatic, and just they were all agreeing with each other. It's ridiculous. But on style points, because debates, President Kennedy arguably won the presidency in 1960, because during the first televised presidential debate in history, Nixon looked ugly. He was sweating. He looked all old and fat, and Kennedy looked all debonair and handsome. Kennedy looks like, well, he doesn't look good anymore because he's been dead for 60 years, but he looked like he would take your wife. I want to make sure that Americans can afford everything they need to be successful. He just looked, and Nixon looked like the fat bastard. He's dead too. Like, what are they going to do? Come after me? Style points. So style points help in a very crowded primary. Let me take a break. Come back. I'm going to dig into what Joel Brennan said about Wisconsin not being ready for a governor that's not a white man. Aren't y'all sick of white men yet? I am. I've been tired of them. No offense to the white, like I got my white guys that are cool, but other than them, I've had my fill, because they just do too much or do too little or do it wrong or are racist or are misguided or are ignorant or are mediocre, but loyal to whiteness. You know what I'm saying? It's just so, it's nauseating. Can I hear from white men? Aren't y'all tired of each other? Because when they call my show, it's, hi, Sherwin. Hey, white guy here. I'm like, oh, you don't say. Oh, we would have never figured that out. All right, let's take a break. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Our phone number, just in case you need it for stuff, 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. Oh, the YouTube question of the day. This one got a little complicated. So there's a story. I know my colleagues covered it this morning, and I was trying to decide if I wanted to touch it. I think they covered it thoroughly. Do y'all want us to talk about the same thing? So if there's something that's happening, something happens in the city of Milwaukee, I don't know, something that 9 out of 10 people are talking about, and let's say the morning show discusses it, you want to hear me talk about it too, or do you get your fill? I'm also assuming that all of the people that listen to the morning show listen to my show. There's some people that listen to the morning show that hate my guts, and they say so, which is fine. I don't need everybody to love my guts.
You're so likable.
No, I'm not. I'm an acquired taste, but
really?
I'm a fine after dinner port wine. I'm a fine. You got to be a connoisseur. You also got to be not dumb. You don't have to be super smart. You have to be not dumb or know that you don't know everything. I hope that makes sense. Because you know who gets really mad at me, who I like argue with, and people that want to have real stupid debates with me, and a lot of times it's in person, are dumb people. Because I say stuff that they've never heard of before. It's just foreign to them. And some of it is the messenger. Because if you hear something that rocks your world and you never knew that that concept existed, or you never knew that that thing happened in history, and it still impacts people to this day, and you hear that from me for the first time, people just don't believe it. They just, why would you make that up, Sherwin? What you mean, Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, the Emancipation Proclamation? Nuh-uh. Black people were never slaves. They just like to work for free. Now, there's people that are that dumb. So dumb people, and I can talk about dumb people because they're not listening. Because they're, I'm not going to say they're not listening because they're dumb. They're dumb because they're not listening. All right, so our YouTube poll. It relates to an MPS janitor that slammed a 14-year-old. So I'm team janitor. I don't even need to know the story. I made a few trips to schools in my professional career. Not many. I went back to my high school when I worked for a member of Congress. I was the, what do you call it? Like the, when you have a speaker, like a speaker in a class. That was actually cool. Cause I remember when we were in school and you get a speaker, like, oh, cool. Some person is coming in to talk to us about stuff that I don't have to pay attention to. But it was an honor to be brought back to my high school to be the speaker in a government class. But I went to, did I go to a career fair, a job fair at a middle school? Some teacher invited me. She invited me on LinkedIn, and I said yes, only because the teacher was attractive. And they were having different professionals come in and talk to different classes about, like, what our jobs are. And we're talking to, like, fifth and sixth graders. Fifth and sixth graders don't know what the hell a radio broadcaster is. They didn't care. This was, at least 10 years ago. And the only positive feedback I got was, hey, kid raised their hand because I, you know, call on the kids that had questions. And this kid was like, my grandma listens to you. And for a second, I was like, oh, what does that mean? I was like, oh, no, that's, I was like, thank you. And then they didn't say anything for the rest of the time I was talking to that class. So this kid, 14-year-old kid, gets body slammed by a janitor. Again, I'm team janitor. We don't know what that janitor might have dealt with. Like, these, I know I can't use the offensive language that I want to use, but you guys know exactly what I'm thinking. You guys know exactly what I'm thinking, because here's the thing. You feel the same way. What I'm thinking about how some of these kids act and how they disrespect adults, how they disrespect their teachers, their principals, their administrators. Oh, that's why I can't teach. I would be fired by third period, because I would not let your kids, when I'm there for them, I want to help them succeed. I want them to be able to navigate the world that is going to eat their asses alive. The world is waiting to devour you. It's waiting to swallow you up. The world doesn't care about you. It don't love you and ain't going to take care of you. The world isn't going to make the price of eggs cheaper. And so we want to prepare these babies for a world where they can eat back. You know what I mean? Because the world's got big jaws. And if I'm there sacrificing my time and being disrespected, being talked back to and not being listened to, and then these kids say something to me that they would say to like one of their parents, lights out. And I hate to say it is too, the girls got the biggest mouths. When I worked at South Division many, many years ago, coordinating after school programs, 9 out of 10 fights were girls. And they were relentless. They bullied each other. They started rumors about one another. They destroyed each other's reputations. I was afraid of them. And I was like, oh, when y'all grow up, y'all are going to be social media influencers, but the girls are the worst ones. Because some girls, some of them, I think half of women are lesbians. I think so. I really, whichever, that's fine. Oh, no, that's be cool. That's X says bisexual. I say, nah. Bisexual is just a way in which unwanted people double their odds. Whoops, did I say that out loud? And they still. It was a post somebody said, like, oh, I'm a bisexual woman and I still can't find anybody to date. And the first comment was, oh, you're bisexual. Maybe you should be bi yourself. That was really funny, I thought. It's hilarious. So this 14-year-old gets slammed and then by the janitor. Why are you messing with a janitor anyway? Janitors have weapons. And janitor slammed the 14-year-old. Now the janitor's in trouble. These kids are so ruthless, and there's no consequences for anything that they do. My generation used to be afraid of the threat. And there's this one thing that my mother said to me, and I believed her. And I didn't even know what she meant, like what, but I took her serious because I would take adults serious. We all did, because we just respected them, you know? It was a default setting. My mother was like, I'm going to send you away. She's like, I can't deal with you anymore. I'm just going to send you. I was like, no, don't send me away. Away might have just been to my aunt's house, you know, but I was afraid that it's like, I'm just going to send you off somewhere. It's going to send you to an orphanage. Send you to where they send the bad kids. So our YouTube question of the day, who's to blame for these kids' poor behavior? And this was. It was tough to put up categories because there's so many different like ways or avenues to blame for a kid's poor behavior. So if you go to YouTube.com or open up your YouTube app from your smartphone or other mobile device, who is to blame for a child's poor behavior? Parents. Because sometimes the parents are really bad role models. And in most cases, it's parent one. Peer pressure. I know some of the stupid stuff I did is because we were just, me and my friends were just going to do stupid stuff. Somebody came up with a really stupid idea and somebody else would be like, yeah, I'll agree to that. And like, next thing you know, we're throwing tomatoes at houses. We put up the category of music/video games because that's always mentioned whenever we have a conversation about poor behavior from young people. So that's a category, but also kind of a catch-all category. We were going to put other, but other could include damn near anything under the sun. And I didn't want the other category to outpace some of the other specific categories. So we put environment. Sometimes there's just environments that are conducive for kids to act unruly. If a parent or a guardian, whomever, is working all the time or they're not home or if like the parent is, you know, incapacitated because they're on alcohol or drugs, or, you know, also the people that they're hanging out with. It could be other family members that are a bad influence. If a young person sees all of their uncles and their aunts are in jail or on probation, if a child can identify an ankle monitor by the time they're 2 or 3 years old, sometimes these environments that these children are brought up in, which most of us never even think about. We don't think about these young people that do some of the worst kinds of behaviors. They're just unloved and unwanted kids. Sometimes the parents kick them out of the house. They're living with their friends' houses. There's no supervision. There's no adult. There's no, like, person to mentor and guide these kids. And you can't leave young people to their own devices. They'll do all sorts of stuff. So I'm curious as to what you guys think. Who is to blame for a child's poor behavior? And so this is referencing a story. Maybe I get to it since I teased it so much, of a janitor at NPS slammed a kid. There was also a story from last week where I think a teacher also like slapped a kid. Again, I'm team teacher. Because if these kids fight each other, and they do, because we have all of the video footage and the cell phone camera recordings of kids fighting each other, sometimes these kids think like, oh, this is how I deal with someone that I don't like or someone that I disagree with. I fight them. Okay, fight an adult. Get your little ass kicked. And maybe when you get your little ass kicked, you're like, ooh, maybe I should consider working it out another way. Maybe we should consider mediation. Maybe we should talk it out. I think Mike Tyson said it best. Everybody has a plan, so you get punched in the face. It's not my kid I'm punching in the face. If a kid is threatening me, and what if the kid swings on me? What am I supposed to do? I'm only going to duck for so long. I got to go on offense. You know, I can't. And how does that look? I'm over here teaching at, let's say I'm at Bayview High School. I'm a teacher. What would I teach? Social studies or something at Bayview. And this kid is like, screw you, Mr. Hughes. Yo, mama. Now I get up from the desk. I mean, excuse me, what did you say? You heard me, Fatty McFatterson, or whatever they'd call me. Probably something offensive. And now the kid is standing up, got up from his desk. And now we both facing off. We walking toward each other. I'm like, hey, I'm going to do what we do. Throw my hands up, I'm like, hey, what's up? What you trying to do, dog? And they swing. Whoosh. I miss. Whoosh. They swing again. I duck. Whoosh. They swing a slow, nasty haymaker. I see my shot. Bip, right on the chin. Now the kid is knocked out on the floor. Who's to blame? And then the principal comes in. Mr. Hughes, what have you done? I was like, hey, they call me Fatty McFatterson. What am I supposed to do? That's what this kid always does. They call everybody Fatty McFatterson. Mr. Hughes, you're going to be under arrest. And now I got to run from the police. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
From the Milwaukee Courier, Wisconsin gubernatorial candidate Joel Brennan denied reporting last week that he feels being white is an advantage in a state that has never had a non-white man as governor. But the Milwaukee area native remarked on a podcast just days before that he does feel the state is not ready for a non-white man as governor. And so this probably is offensive to some on its face. Yeah, I guess it is offensive, but take it from a white dude. If he thinks that Wisconsin is not ready for a non-white man as governor, I think that he would know. We also forget, because if you live in Milwaukee, you're surrounded by non-white people. Sometimes, so let's say I don't go to the Third Street Market Hall. Even when I am here, I get here so early. I guess the first person I do see in the morning is a white fella, Steve Scafidi. And I don't even know what time his show is on. I think his show starts at 10. I get here at 7, and Steve has already got his face in his laptop preparing his show. Steve's a very nice guy. Very nice guy. I say good morning to him. He says good morning to me. And then we disappear into our neutral corners of the market hall. But let's say I don't come here. I kind of have to sometimes go out of my way to see white people. If I'm hanging out with my friends and my family, yeah, I got white friends, but I don't hang out with them all the time. But if you're in Milwaukee, there's a lot of diversity here. And you would think that the diversity that is here would be better respected, especially because we are a heavy Democratic voting city and black people have a plurality. So we're not the majority here, but there's more black people in the city of Milwaukee than not. We're like 38% white folks, or I don't care, 32 or whatever. They're dwindling. And then you add Latinos and Asians and biracial people and triracial people and all the other things. So that makes up a majority of the population of Milwaukee. And so you would think that these candidates would be more respectful of the African-American vote, especially in a Democratic primary, because the African-American vote share, especially coming out of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, if one candidate puts together an agenda that makes sense, that can assist some of the things that we talk about, some of the problems and the violence, the poverty, the low levels of home ownership, whatever it is. If one of the candidates running says, hey, African-Americans, when you're much more involved in the economy, like everybody does better, everything does better, the state does better. So let's put together some ideas and policies based on what you as African-American citizens and residents want to see. They're not doing any of that. And I also believe that that is another insidious part of the Donald Trump agenda. This anti-DEI stuff is more than just Trump prioritizing white men. I read some stuff to you guys a couple of weeks ago where black women have lost like 300,000 jobs and white men have gained like 400 or 500,000 jobs or something like that. It's actually now tangible. You can see it in the numbers of even private businesses that are laying off and taking out whatever they're considering DEI. All that George Floyd stuff is gone. But we predicted it would be. All the George Floyd stuff is gone, including the sale of 101.7 The Truth. Let that sink in. But I'm not shocked by that because white folks have a shelf life for sympathy. And so you would think that, you know, these Democratic candidates that are running in a very crowded primary, one of them would need the advantage, and the advantage is the African-American vote. But they're not doing as much, including the candidates that are from Milwaukee. And I see how this thing is going, right? You have a black candidate whose base is in Milwaukee because that's where they're from. That's where they're connected. That's where they performed well before. That's where they originally got elected. But what they do is this. They go out state and they song and dance for white folks who might be economically disadvantaged, white folks who haven't done well during the Trump era, and they're trying to cater to these outstate white folks that don't want to vote for somebody black, even if they are a Democrat. And that's the thing about whiteness. It's so polite. It is designed to be genteel. It's designed to be like just not, it's kind, especially in Wisconsin. If white voters that are likely to vote for a Democrat because they're not happy with Trump, they're not happy with the economy, they're not happy with AI data centers or whatever. If given the choice, let's be realistic now, let's not get in our feelings about this. If a white voter who lives in Mauston, Wisconsin, or Schwabenon, or somewhere in Marathon County, maybe they live near Spooner or they live near Rice Lake or they're just outside of Eau Claire. And if all the Democratic candidates are essentially the same on the issues, wouldn't they just prefer to vote for someone that looks like them? I know black folks do. If all things are equal, give me the black candidate, because at least I can have a conversation with them about things that uniquely impact the black community without having to explain it. Just like women and women candidates, women can have conversations, especially political ones, without having to explain all the ways in which women are negatively impacted, right? Women, remember the Me Too movement and pay disparities and, you know, women are much more likely to be, you know, victims of things that men do. Just all the stuff, right? Women can have those conversations amongst one another without having to define it. When it comes to a man, if a woman says, oh, as a woman, I face, you know, all these obstacles. And then what'll the man say? Well, not the women that I know. I don't do any of those things you just mentioned. Shut up. Just like if I want to have a conversation about how race and just the casual cavalier attitude that some white folks have about race and racism, because it's not really, it's not their thing. White people don't really live in a world in which they're discriminated against, but I promise you this, if they are discriminated against, they let the world know, I didn't get the job because of, they're worse than us. It's like a man that approaches a woman, like we get used to being rejected. We just get used to it, right? You just let it roll off your shoulders. If a woman approaches a man and she gets rejected, she sounds like the white guy that got passed up for the job. But if all things are considered equal, and they are because these candidates, other than the small Asian woman, she's Korean, by the way. Not all Asians are the same. I would like to be able to identify Asians by nationality. Because they all look different. I hope this doesn't sound racist. Because you know what we used to call all of them back in the day? Now, this is racist. We just all said they were Chinese, which is stupid. And I admit that back in the day, the 80s were wild. I'm kind of glad they don't exist anymore because, oh, man, you still had racist cartoons that were on Saturday morning. But I'd like to be able to identify the Asians. You want to say that on the microphone? Come on, get some of this racism, Xavier. Come on, get some. Come on. No. Your favorite candidate is the Asian lady. I didn't think she was Korean. I thought she was Hmong. I love the Hmong very much. They live right next to her. The Hmong are ghetto. And they won't even deny it. They live right next to it. They're very quiet unless they have chickens. They'll have a chicken for that ass. They'll I don't know if I can get canceled right now because I'm in limbo. I'm enjoying this quite a bit. All right, why don't we do this? I want to talk about Joel Brennan's comments, and I'm not mad at it because this is a white state. This is white people land. You ever been up north? It's beautiful. It's different now because Trump has emboldened them. They didn't used to be bold. I remember when I took my first trip up to Vilas County, which is just, it's pristine. Even the air smells better. Them big old tall pine trees. You know what it looks like? It looks like rural Mississippi. It does. Like the soil is real sandy and you got those big old tall pine trees. It's nothing but woods. Oh, it's beautiful up there. And I went into this bar called Sharky's. It's in Minocqua. Just a tourist trap. Nothing but white folks. And I was a little nervous. I was young. I was in my 20s. Early 20s. And I said to the bartender, I said, how y'all feel about black folks up here? Because I'm curious. I want to know if I'm in a hostile environment. And he said, oh, do we feel about the blacks? Well, we don't see many of them. That's for sure. He had that heavy Wisconsin accent. By the way, the worst, most ignorant accent in the country. If somebody hears me talking, they say, oh, Sherwin, you sound like you're from Wisconsin. I tear up. Because that's a horrible thing to say. So I'm talking to this bartender at Sharky's. I said, how y'all feel about black folk up here? Well, it's not you we don't like. We ain't got no problem with the blacks. No. You know who we don't like? I'm like, do tell, Gerald. The Injuns. They beef with Native Americans because Native Americans get to spear fish and they take a lot of fish out of the lakes. But remember, those are the Native American lakes. The lakes is named like there's a lake called Lac du Flambeau, which is the name of the reservation. If a Native American wants to use dynamite to fish, they should be able to do that because that's their lake. No. It's the Indians we don't like. Could you imagine that? I had no idea that white folks and Native Americans they still beefing over like 200 years. All right, let me take a break. Come back. Talk to Alan on the other side. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Reginald Jones says, hats off to the Hmong among us. Lovely vegetables, hands down. Oh, they'll rock a farmer's market. And it's pronounced Hmong, not Hmong. Actually, it's Hmong. Hmong, y'all say it right. I speak a little Hmong. I dated a Hmong girl once. My name was La.
Let's hear a little bit.
No. Her family didn't like me because they're racist. They want either their kids to marry another Hmong. Their weddings and their funerals or something. Their funerals last a week. If a Hmong person dies, you ain't gonna be able to park on your street till February. They do a whole big week-long thing. When I die, I put my ass in the ground. Don't cremate me because I don't like fire. Even though I'm dead, bury me. Ass up. So, kiss it. You kiss it. Shout out to the Hmong. Yeah, her parents weren't fond of me. But whatever, it's fine. Like, because they lived in the hood, living on the South Side. And all of the kids, so my generation of that family, they were all like ghetto. But the dad was old school. He came over after the Vietnam War because a lot of them got refugee status because they helped us in the war. I never met him. All right, let's talk to Alan. Hello, Alan. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you? Hey, happy Mother's Day to your mom. I forgot. I was going to call you yesterday, and I didn't get around to it.
I'm sure she says thank you.
Well, I'm sure she don't really care, but I was thinking of you guys. That's what matters. All right. Again, you know what? My neighbor, the guy who lives behind me, Cy, he's a Hmong.
All right.
He's very old-fashioned.
Okay.
I mean, him and I get along. He don't get along with the people who are doing, like, bad things, but him and I are on the same page. So we talk. His wife don't speak any English at all. She, is traditional, and she'll go out. We'll go, you know, we live by the woods over here, by the Haven Woods. We go in there, and she, like, shows me roots, and I'll show her some stuff you can use to make keys and everything. So that's pretty cool.
I have and they so do, many questions. Okay. So you walk around in the woods with a Hmong lady that doesn't speak English looking at roots where you can make teas. All right.
What's wrong with that?
I'm not letting my wife walk around. My wife is not walking around in the woods with you or anybody for that matter.
Well, that's all right. Just make sure that nobody, you know, I was over there first. I saw her doing it one day and I asked Cy, and he said, hey, you know, and he told me what they were doing. And then, we just started talking. She talks a little bit, you know, but not.
You know, Hmong are big Democrats. They vote for Democrats. You know that, right? So that you probably don't have that in common with them. But also, aren't there movies about white people going in the woods with other people and then only one of them comes back?
Well, I'm always going to come back if something bad happens. I'm not too worried about that.
You got 20 seconds, man. Alan, because I got to take a break. So get it all out. 20 seconds.
Tom. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I just wanted to wish you. I wanted to wish your mom a happy Mother's Day. That's all.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
I don't have a lot of time to listen all the time because I had to go back to work because of these idiots across the street. But anyway, I'll never vote for a Democrat again. I'll tell you that. I did once, and I've been checked.
4, 3.
Bye.
2. The truth was sure when he was to be back for hour 2.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.